Good morning. Welcome to House Plans. JD Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We appreciate you listening today. We're talking real estate and mortgage lending. A lot going on here in the upstate and nationally. And Keith, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, JD.
Glad to be here.
It's very exciting.
It is an exciting week.
This is it. This is the beginning of everything.
It is. It is. You know, I know March 1st is the beginning of spring for you. March is always a little tricky, but once we get to April, I know we got had some severe weather this week, a little bit of, you know, this and that, but it's Masters week.
Oh, yes. Yes. And we're recording the show on Wednesday, so it'll be on the air Saturday. We'll know who's playing well, who made the cut.
Yeah. You didn't get to go this year, huh?
Well, I don't know yet.
I know. Well, the last
Mary has a very good friend who has badges.
Oh, really? Yeah, nice.
So, she's working on it.
I've got a gentleman. I think I've got my connection for next year. I've got a gentleman that works for County Bank that surprised me. He called me.
No way. Yeah. Well, you should get that call.
Well, he called me and he said, "Hey, listen." He goes, "I don't care a thing about golf." And he doesn't. That's not his thing. But I've helped him out with some other stuff. And he goes, I replied to a message on his on Facebook, just not even about the Masters, just about something totally different.
You had your hand out there moving the water around a little bit to see. You didn't raise your hand, but you let.
I'll never raise my hand. I don't raise my hand.
It's hard to.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Yeah. If it works out, it works out. That's the way I look at it, you know. But you know me, Keith. I like to go about every 4 or 5 years. I get the itch.
Yeah. No, I love itch. It. Every year.
I know. Well, and of course, you know, they had the one in the fall, what was it, a year and a half ago?
November.
Yep. And, you know, when the pandemic was going on and all that. But it's definitely one of my favorite weeks.
Is that the one Tiger won? Was it November
no,
or the
that,
previous
Dustin
year?
No, Dustin Johnson won in the fall. And then,
that's right.
The
that's
year
right.
before that, I was in New York and got to watch on Sunday. We went to a little pub in New York and watched the Sunday finish. They started early that year on Sunday because of inclement weather that was coming. But that was the year Tiger won. Tiger playing this year.
Egg salad for me, JD.
Yeah, now here's how you do it, Keith, okay? Here's how you do it. For those that may be going today or tomorrow, Saturday or Sunday, let me give you a piece of advice, okay? They have free parking, okay? So just get down there early, okay? When I mean early, you need to, when the gates open, you need to be there 30 minutes before that, 45 minutes before that. Get you a good spot. Go straight to merchandise.
Yeah, yeah.
Get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Once you get your merchandise, and they'll actually give you an extra bag if you ask for it, a plastic bag. You're going to want that for all those cups.
Guess what they do now, JD? You can ship it from the merchandise tent. So you don't have to carry it around.
It used to be you'd run it back out of the car and back in, you know, and all that. And then once you get the merchandise, okay, so you're going to be running, let's just say gates open at 7. It's going to be about maybe 8:15, maybe 8 o'clock. Then you go straight to the merchandise or go straight to the tent. You get you an egg salad sandwich. That's breakfast, Keith. Egg salad.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm with you 100%.
All right. Then you can go walk around.
Then where to go? Where's your favorite spot?
You know, I've got some spots that I like that nobody really likes.
You don't want to share it? You just don't want to share it.
Well, so everybody goes to 16. Everybody
16
likes tee shot at 16. Yeah, because then you can see them coming on 15.
That's right. That's exactly. If you get in those stands up top and on that rail.
And there's concessions down
there,
and all that. I've been just about everywhere. There's some places I like to go that, you know, not a lot of people go.
But you know, JD, the last time I was there, I think 2 years ago, there were so many people at Amen Corner.
Amen Corner.
So I do like to eat lunch down there because there's those magnolia trees over there by where the security guards sit.
Yeah.
That's a good spot
to just
sit and have lunch.
If you really want to watch them tee off, Keith, and watch how they hit the ball. Everybody hits driver at number two. And you can get behind
That's
number
exactly
two back there.
Right.
There's a great spot right back there. And you're kind of at the end of the course.
There's no place to go. No. And if you get on either side, if you get for a right-hander, if you get on the other side, you're right there next to that brick wall.
And you can sit there and watch them.
That's right.
It's unbelievable.
I saw Tiger in 97 hit it off number two.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see them hit a ball and
when
actually stand that close, because you're pretty close to them. And behind number 11 is a good spot. Too. So, anyway, but anybody getting to go, congratulations on the
Well, that was
time.
It, play by play, preparing the audience for today's Masters.
That's correct. Yeah. And hey, and for lunch, after you've had egg salad for breakfast, make sure you get pimento cheese. And by the way, you'll only need $1.50 for each one of those sandwiches, Keith. That's a deal.
It's remarkable,
it
isn't
is.
It?
It's great. They do it right at Augusta. So, well, listen, we're going to head into our first break. We're going to talk real estate and mortgage lending today,
too. Do we have to?
But we always like to talk about the Masters for sure. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. And when we come back, we've got some great topics, a few email questions to talk about as well. And we'll be back right after this here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We're talking real estate and mortgage lending today. We do appreciate all our listeners. Got some great email questions today as well. And a lot of people calling us, getting pre-qualified. It's still a very competitive market out there. And, of course, if you ever want to reach County Bank during the week, we have mortgage loan officers standing by all the time, ready to talk to you. The best way to reach them is 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. And anytime during the week, Monday to Friday. And, of course, you can always email us at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's A-S-K-J-D at countybankmortgage.com. And I'll be glad to either talk to you or get you in touch with the right person to talk to get pre-qualified or figure out if refinancing is the right time for you. So, Keith, it was a more of the same. We talked last week a lot about the real estate market, and we had the numbers. And, of course, we should have the March numbers, I would guess, next week to talk a little bit about. So that should be good. But I know you had sent a kind of an interesting article titled "Priced Out Buyers May Dampen the Market Growth," and I'm not sure I don't agree with the article and all that it says, right?
Yeah, I think that's the conversation right now, JD. And what we're talking about is affordability, really, because the price run up looks like it could be this year again close to 10, 12, 13%. Sure. May early in the year, it was above 15.
Yeah, right.
So, but we expect that to dampen just a little bit. But when you have the run-up in pricing like we've had and the dramatic increase in interest rates, which I think you'll talk about later in the show, the affordability becomes very challenging. And so the average mortgage has went up dramatically because of those two variables. Then when you put the shortage of inventory into the mix, it really makes it a challenging market for the buyer.
Well, it does. And of course, you know, in this article, from a national perspective, you know, it talks about the cost of buying the same home this year compared to 1 year ago has increased 40%, you know, because of the rates and the home prices going up. And, of course, most of the buyers that are out there, I would say the majority of them, are first-time home buyers that are getting into the game. We've talked about that. So the affordability has made a difference. And, you know, Keith, we had a deal. I was talking to Gina, who is one of our mortgage loan officers, and she has a client that we're really working on getting pre-qualified. And just a little bit of a background, she had a Verizon account that was unpaid. It was gone to collections. We were trying to get it resolved. She paid it. But her credit score fell in the between 620 and 640, which qualified her. But there are layers of debt to income ratio. They lower the debt to income ratio that they will accept as qualifying based on your credit score. Now, if we were able to get her score up to 670, which paying off that Verizon account would do, then in that situation, we could go up to 49% DTI. So it gives her a little bit of room in that regard.
Now, are you talking about conventional?
Conventional. Okay. Yes, conventional. So so we started putting the numbers together. And when we started the conversation with her about 8 weeks ago, rates were about a point and a half lower from where they were. So the house that she wanted to buy is in the 280 range. And now we can't get her qualified, even with the increase in debt-to-income ratio, but for about 255. I mean, we have twisted and turned this thing. So that's a prime example of someone who wants a house at that 280, but now can't afford but, say, 250 because the rates have gone up You know, the housing prices have gone up and that kind of thing. And of course, you know, the rates in the last 6 weeks have gone up about a point and a half. And that's a real, that makes a real difference, you know.
JD, that's the exact example that we're talking about in terms of affordability.
Yep.
That's exactly it. And 10 years ago, JD, what you would do is save a little more, continue to work on your credit score.
Yeah.
But in today's environment, with the rising prices, and it looks like we talk about interest rates normalizing. And if you look at the big graph, JD, for the last 100 years, typically you'd probably look at about a 7% average rate over the last 100 years.
Right.
And if rates normalize back to that 6 and 7%, then with the increased pricing, the first time home buyer is just going to have a tough time of it.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things I wrote down, you know, it's more important than ever to start early. And, you know, we've talked about that for years on this show. You know, when you're ready to buy a home, get pre-qualified, talk to the right mortgage lender, get your a buyer's agent to represent you. And you know, really, if you're thinking about buying, let's just say that you want to start the process in September. You know, there's probably no better time than the present to go ahead and start getting your ducks in a row. Because with the lack of inventory that you find in most markets, Keith, you've got to have everything in place and be ready to pull the trigger pretty quickly. And, you know, having your goals in place, you know, figuring out if it is the right time to buy for you, facing all the challenges that are out there, starting early is key.
It's never too early to start.
Yeah.
Never too early. And you'll impress your parents if you're a first-time buyer.
That's exactly
they
right.
They may pony up a little bit if they know you're making your effort. And we're going, historically, parents have contributed gift money. Sometimes they'll co-sign the loan.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there are a variety of things that can be done to facilitate a first-time home buyer's effort.
We see more of that now, Keith. Parents helping with down payment, non-occupant co-borrowers to use a parent's income to get them qualified for the house that they want to buy. We see that more now than probably we've seen in 10 years.
And I think you're going to continue to see more of it.
Yeah.
Because of the things that we just talked about.
Well, you know, with inflation running just under 8%, you know, the other thing that factors in is, you know, if you're, you know, I don't spend as much on gas as other people do, but I can tell you that, you know, if you've got a GMC Yukon and you're having to drive 50 or 60 miles a day, you know, I don't know how much in gas, how many times you have to fill up. But, you know, it's $100, $125, $150 sometimes to fill up a tank of gas. You know, all that factors into the equation as well. I mean, that's money that's coming off, you know, what you feel like you can afford.
And when you're, correct me if I'm wrong here, but when you're qualifying for a VA loan, they actually go through those numbers, I think.
They look at them. I mean, it's
your disposable income and how much you need in order to maintain the home
based
properly.
On family size. Right. Yeah, I mean, the VA does look at that. They look at it from more of a, you know, what I call old time
holistic.
Look as far as the underwriting goes. I'll tell you, I'll go ahead and give you an interest rate update while we're talking. So I pulled the numbers up, Keith, yesterday. And I was astonished because, you know, we don't look at every single rate of every single program, you know, every single day. A lot of times you may look at a specific rate, you know, once a week. Somebody may inquire or whatever it may be. But 30 and 20 year fixed, the exact same rate right now, 4.875. These are based on like a 760 score and 20% down, you know, on your average loan size, you know, that sort of thing. 15 year fixed up to 4 1/8. So we're basically in the fours now on just about every product. But the one thing that really, really surprised me, Keith, government, I'll tell you this. So government 30-year fixed FHA, 4.875, same thing as
really?
A conventional. Which
okay,
is,
and historically that's usually a little bit lower.
Yeah, usually a little bit lower. But jumbo, Keith, this surprised me, okay? 30-year fixed jumbo, 4.5. lower than what you can get on conventional or government right now. So the jumbo market is actually better right now than the conventional market.
Wow.
And I think that's the first time that I've ever said that, or that I can remember it being that way, in 25 years, 30 years. And,
in the financial markets, they're talking about the inverted yield curve, where short-term rates and long-term rates flip.
Yep.
Where typically the long-term rate is a little bit lower. So it's a strange time, and it's going to be a real challenge. That's all I can say.
Well, we've talked a lot about people that, a lot of people have refinanced in the last, two or three years, sometimes twice. Some people have rates in the twos, low threes, and refinance their mortgage to get that lower rate and that sort of thing.
Sometimes but, twice in the same year.
Yeah, I mean, it may have made sense. It actually may have. We talked to a couple people this week that were both in ARMs, still had an ARM.
Okay.
And they had gotten an ARM, an adjustable rate mortgage, 7, 8, 10 years ago. The rates have remained low across the board. And so their ARM rate has been really good for a really long time. And in talking to them, I was like, one of our maybe less experienced loan officers came to me yesterday, and he said, they've got this ARM. The rates have been really good. He was kind of going through everything with them and said, but if they refinance, they're going to be at, 5%. And I said, think about this.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So they're at 3.5 on their ARM now, and it will adjust.
Yep.
Okay. At the annual, and it's probably going to 5.5.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anybody that's out there that has an adjustable rate mortgage, and there's few and far between in today's environment, now is the time to get out of that ARM, because it is going up, and it's going to go up quickly. Now, many of them have caps where they can only go up 2% a year, but some do not. And it could go overnight, from 3.5 to 9.5 or whatever the situation may be. And I'll promise you, you'll know it when that statement hits the thing, but don't wait on that.
What a unique scenario, right?
Yeah, sure.
And if you're not in the know, if you're not monitoring all those variables,
yeah,
you may just be asleep at the wheel when you wake up and look.
When that statement comes and your payment goes up $250 a month.
Well, yeah. But in the long term, JD, that could happen a couple of years in a row.
Yeah,
and then
it could.
And if you next year, if rates are at 6 or 7, then the option of refinancing will be even worse.
And trying to get qualified
yes.
as well. And I'll say this, and I told Chase the same thing. I said, Chase, you need to tell them the benefits of going from an ARM to a fixed right now. Don't worry about what the number is as far as a fixed rate goes. They just need to get into something fixed, because here's what could happen. We could be closing loans at 5 and 6 and 7% for 2 or 3 years, and then something happened and the rates fall back down into the fours again, and then everybody's going to be refinancing that got the 6 and 7. I mean, that's just kind of the way the cycle goes, but you don't want to sit around and wait.
Right. Trapped.
You get trapped. Hindsight is always 20/20, and of course, we talked about the people who refinanced twice in 1 year and all that. Well, they may have been at 4%. They went to 3 or 3.5 and saved money, and then the 2.5 and they refinanced again. I mean, so you just have to take it for what it is. So anyway, but that's your interest rate update. Of course, if you're buying jumbo, that 4.5% jumbo rate, that's a pretty darn good rate.
And how long, JD? What kind of term for
that's
the jumbo?
That's 30-year fixed.
Oh, yeah. Now's the time to do that.
If you're out there, you're getting ready to do a jumbo loan, I mean, those rates have not changed as much, and that's actually a great rate, in my opinion, especially for 30-year fixed, jumbo, which is any loan amount over 647-200. So that's a great idea, as far as that goes. So what do you expect to see when the March numbers come out?
Well, I think you're going to see more of the same here. I think we're going to be up again. But as that inventory level reaches one month,
yeah,
then you're going to see some pressure. The numbers are going to change a little bit. This is the near year of new construction, I believe.
Yeah.
I think unless we get some relief from new construction, We'll see more of the same.
Yep. Well, that sounds great. Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. We do appreciate you listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Just talking about the real estate market this morning. And we've got some great email questions that I wanted to get to as well. And we'll tackle those here on the other side of the break. Had some questions about crypto, so we'll dive into that. A lot of new construction, as you mentioned, people asking about it, when should I lock in my construction rate. So we'll talk about that more right after this here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Appreciate you listening in today. We are talking real estate and mortgage lending. Great conversation about interest rates and as well as some of the buyers that are starting to get priced out of the market with the affordability going down, the rates going up, the prices going up, and things like that. But, Keith, I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. Not a real estate question, a master's question. I'm going to go back to our first segment here. You got any predictions on maybe who you think?
Oh, gosh.
That's a tough one, huh?
It is. I haven't even really given a lot of thought. But I'll tell you, Morikawa,
yeah,
I think if his iron games... You know, he hit a little lull, but last year he played great.
Yeah.
You can't count out Scottie Scheffler because he's so hot.
Yeah, you know,
he's hitting
right.
It straight, long, putting well.
Yeah.
Now, the inexperience will make a difference for them.
Yeah, it will.
Those are
I'd
the two
I'd love to see
youngest.
Rory McIlroy do it. I'd like to see him complete the Grand Slam.
I would, too. In fact, I think he would be a very, very popular winner.
Yeah.
And every time when you said that, you know what? It made me think of him leading on Sunday when we pull hooked it over there off number 10.
Hit it by the grill.
he had it in hand, did he
yeah,
not?
Yeah, he did. That was tough.
Off of 10, and that must have been 10 years. How long?
It's been a while, maybe more
than
that.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
I think about that, too.
He doesn't seem to play well when the pressure. He's such an emotional guy. You can see it on his face.
It's painful to watch somebody fold on back nine on Sunday. You know what I mean? I mean, Greg Norman... That may have been the most painful thing of all time. Six-shot lead and end up losing by four or five. That was crazy. But anyway, well, Keith, listen, I know you've got some clients that are working through new construction right now, and there's a lot of people out there that are working through new construction, can't find a home that they like or a home that can't get under contract, maybe making offers, and a lot of people have decided to go down to the new construction road. And, we got a question this week from the email line, which is askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And their question was, I am building a new construction home and I want to lock in an interest rate now before they go any higher. What are my options? My current lender cannot lock in until I'm within 60 days of the home being complete. And it's a great question, Keith. And, you know, one of the things that I would tell everyone, you know, most of the builders that are here in the upstate, and I'm talking about, you know, regional builders and maybe some local builders and that kind of thing, most of them have their own lenders that they like to do business with, and that's understandable. But many have rules in regards to when you can lock in an interest rate. We have several clients who have sort of gotten boxed in, and they're under contract on a new construction. They can't lock in until they get within 60 days of the home being done. Rates have already gone up a point and a half, and the payment that they were thinking they were going to be able to get now may be $150 or $200 higher because of the increase in rates. And, one of the things I wanted to tell everyone about, County Bank will actually allow you to lock in an interest rate 9 months prior to closing. And it's a great program. You can 270-day lock. Now, many times, and there's many other lenders as well, they will require you to write a check to lock in a rate that far in advance. If the going rate, like I mentioned today, is 4.875 on a 270-day lock, that rate may be 5.375 or maybe even 5.5. And typically, they're going to want you to write a check for 1% of the loan amount up front. Now, that 1% is applied towards closing costs. And the reason they're doing that is they're taking that money reserving it for you off the secondary market. And so they want that 1% they hope is creates a loyalty between.
Well, they have to commit to it, right?
That's correct.
So the lender is committing for that money at that amount.
Right, or whatever it may be. But it's an option that'll probably become more and more prevalent in today's market, as people have seen interest rates rise up as quickly and as fast as they have. You know, Keith, I'll be honest with you. I have not seen rates go up this fast. You know, just in a six-week period, I found an email on a county bank employee that's going through new construction, and I was telling her rates were going to be in the 3 3/8 to 3.5 range. This was 6 weeks ago, Keith, and now, you know, she asked me the other day, and I said, I got bad news. It's, you know, you're in the upper fours, and she about died.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it happen this quickly, JD. Maybe it has, but I don't remember it happening that quickly.
Well, I remember at the beginning of the year, maybe in December when we were doing the show, we were doing our predictions, you know, for 2022, and not that this, I'm talking about the real estate market itself, but we were talking about interest rates, you know, settling in around 4%. And that was a number that we felt like it was going to sort of settle in at. And we blew right past that, and we're a point higher than that right now. Now, that's not to say they may drop down a little bit or maybe even go even higher. But, you know, I like to say a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush. And right now, you know, getting locked in on an interest rate when you're under new construction and you know, you're getting ready to maybe close in 3 or 4 months, you need to find a lender that will allow you to lock in for an extended period of time. Because many of them, too, will allow a float down, which is kind of the way our program works. We may lock you in at 5 3/8 for 270 days. But if we get 6 months into this deal or whatever, and maybe you're waiting for your home to be complete, and rates do drop down to, say, 4%, we have a float down option that works as well. So you kind of get the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
there.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that's unique about the current environment, JD, in new construction, is most new construction contracts have escalation clauses in them and material substitution clauses in them.
Yeah.
So that they can't guarantee you a closing date, and the language for the closing date gives them the right to extend it as long as they need to.
Wow.
Now, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. They want to build that home as quickly as they can.
Yeah.
It's in their best interest as well as the customer's best interest to get it done as soon as possible. But we all know that the supply chain is having some problems, and that material substitutions are likely to occur, and we don't know about delays. You know, maybe they can deliver on time, maybe they can't deliver that home on time. And when your rate is locked in for a date certain, it presents a wide variety of variables. So hoping that this will pull back. You know,
sure.
We hope that this is a short-term problem, but at the same time, we must prepare for it to be a longer term problem, because it seems like the administration, everything that they should be doing, there seems to me like they're doing the opposite.
Yeah, I agree with that, Keith. You're exactly right. And, you know, like you say, it's not that the builders don't want to finish the home. It's that they can't finish the home. You know, many times it's a supply chain issue, as you say. You can just look at the price of lumber over the last couple of years. And, you know, they think it's going to cost X to build a home, but it ends up being Y. Well, they're not in the business of giving away homes.
No, they don't. They can't work for free.
Right.
It's called cost of capital. Right.
You right.
know, today they're dragging in the oil executives in before Congress, you know, and the oil price is a global marketplace.
Yeah, sure.
All over the world. You can buy a barrel of oil in the U.S. or in China. It's basically the same price.
Yeah, right.
Now, local taxes and refineries have a component of that cost. But the point is you can't build a house for free,
yeah.
Right? It costs the builder a certain amount
to do it,
for cost of capital.
Yep.
materials and overhead.
Yeah.
And that's going to be reflected in the price plus a margin.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Keith. Well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. We appreciate you listening today. This is House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker talking real estate and mortgage lending today. We'll be back on House Plans right after these messages. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. You're listening to House Plans today. Hope everyone is having a great weekend. And we've got, all kind of topics that we've been talking about today.
On a great Master Saturday.
On a Master Saturday, that's correct. So what? It'll be...
be a little cool down there Saturday.
Yeah, I think so.
But the sun will be shining.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, it'll be... I'm sure they'll have it... that place is like a science experiment, Keith. They've got machines under there that suck the water out. And, I mean, they know how to grow grass.
They make it bloom when they want to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They know how to do it for sure. So I got another email question. This is actually a great topic, Keith. We've talked about it and even touched on it earlier in the show about preparing early. And really what we were talking about was more from the buy side as opposed to the listing side. But this is from John. He says, I am selling my home and don't expect it to take long to sell. However, I have some repairs that I know need to be completed. Should I wait or should I go ahead and get them done before listing my house for sale? And, that's a great question because, Keith, we're seeing more and more contracts come through where people are using companies to make cash offers like the Ribbon. We talked about Ribbon. We also, we hear, no repairs. We'll take the home as is. You hear escalation clauses and things like that. There's a lot of different things happening in regards to contracts. And, many people have those repairs. And years ago and in the past, when you have equilibrium between buyer and seller, we've talked about, getting your home prepared to sell and that kind of thing. And I think in today's market, a lot of sellers are thinking, I think I'm just going to sit tight. Somebody's going to buy this house the way I want it. I'm going to get multiple offers anyway. Why should I bother with that? And, probably not the right approach.
Absolutely not. Now, that could be true. You could get multiple offers. But if you want to maximize the price you get for your home, you want to put it in the best condition possible so that the marketplace competes for it, mm-hmm. so that you can take advantage of the scarcity of inventory.
Right.
So you don't want to relax and take what the market gives you. Prepare your home properly. Do all the repairs that you know need to be done. Because there's some consequences of that, and that your return on investment will be higher on those repairs if you go ahead and do them.
Yeah, you're right, Keith. And a lot of people, a lot of people have waived inspections and different things. And if I'm a home seller and somebody says, well, we're not even going to do an inspection, that's fine and dandy. If that's the decision you make to not the way I would approach it, but if you do that, whatever. But the lender is probably going to get an appraisal done. And if an appraiser notes any repairs on the appraisal, whatever they may be, those typically are going to have to be repaired anyway. And one of the things I was thinking about, when I got this email from John was, do an inspection, not do an inspection, repairs, no repairs. The appraiser goes out there, and on the appraisal, he notes two or three items that need to be repaired. And then you want to try to close within, 3 or 4 weeks of the contract being written. And all of a sudden, you can't get the repair guy out there for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, you can't get a survey, JD, for 7 or 8 weeks right now.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And historically, you could have one done in 2 weeks.
Right.
But what you're describing, JD, is getting those repairs done up front. And typically, we do not see a lot of no inspection, the waiver of the inspection.
Right.
Now, we'll see the waiver of an appraisal.
Right.
But typically, the buyer's going to do an inspection, so you need to be prepared for it.
Yeah, that's right. And, typically, we all know, When the inspections are done, and even if an appraisal's done, you know, if there's something major, it's going to get uncovered, okay? Yeah. These guys, I mean, it's not that, you know, it's not going to accidentally get left off, you know. And, you know, most of the time, because an appraisal is more of a visual, more than it is, should I say, functional, you know, type of inspection, for lack of a better word.
And J.D., these repairs are serious, the buyer may walk away from the deal and lose their earnest money.
Yeah,
If it's a substantial enough repair and that you can't work it out.
Yeah.
So I would say the short answer is do the repairs, put the house in great condition, and take advantage of the marketplace. Don't relax and let the marketplace come to you.
Well, we had a deal this week, Keith, and the buyer, it was extremely frustrated. They had missed out on, I don't know, a handful of houses, you know, in the past. They had decided to waive in the inspection. They felt strong about the house. Yeah. Well, they didn't look under the house, Keith. Yeah. So guess what the appraiser does when he goes out?
He peeked under there.
He peeked under there. And guess what?
There was water under there.
Standing water. Yep. about 4 inches deep.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it had just rained. And so we have a conversation with the seller asking, you know, hey, you know, what's the situation and blah, blah, blah. Well, there's new construction kind of going on back behind, you know, kind of behind there. Water was running down and it was, you know, it was in and up, you know, below their house. And so, you know, we required a sump pump because the appraiser noted it on the appraisal. We required a sump pump to be installed, have all that water pumped out of there. And then, you know, the appraiser's got to go back out and take pictures to verify that the water's gone.
And all that takes time, J.D.
It takes time. So, you know, it was supposed to close on a Friday, and closing ended up getting pushed back to Wednesday or Thursday of the following week for all those different things to happen. And, you know, that can create turbulence in a transaction. You know, a lot of people are calling power companies, gas companies, moving trucks. You know, that's a nightmare scenario.
Contractors, you may have a contractor lined up to do some improvements before you move in, getting back on their schedule. You've got to call the contractor, cancel that.
Yeah.
Reschedule. It creates big problems.
Yeah.
Do it up front.
Do it up front. You're exactly right. So, you know, that's the moral of the story when we talk about, you know, having a home with repairs that need to be completed. If you're getting ready to list your home, go ahead and get those things done. And that way you won't have any turbulence, you know, as you move forward, for sure. Got another question. This was a topic we talked about a few months ago, Keith, in regards to crypto. And it's a millennial-aged buyer who had contacted us and has a lot of crypto and wants to use that crypto for their down payment. And it's a great question, becoming more and more prevalent on deals as we see. And the short answer is you need to make sure, if you're planning to use crypto as your down payment, that you contact the mortgage lender that has you pre-qualified and make sure that they know that you are planning to use that crypto. Now, there are several things, because some mortgage lenders do not allow you to use crypto as down payment. Some do. So you've got a little bit more of a narrow road that you're dealing with. But all of them are going to require you to exchange that crypto into U.S. dollars and have it deposited into a bank account. And then you're going to need to trail that money from the crypto to the bank account. And have that in regards to, you know, cash, let's just call it. That's an important step. And then you're also going to need to have that sourced back 60 days. So if you're planning to use crypto as a down payment, what my encouragement would be is to go ahead and get that done 3 months before you're getting ready to possibly close on a home. Not something that you can do at the last minute and try to get it all, you know, transferred and converted. Make sure that everything's in your name, not somebody else's name. That creates some issues. The most important thing is to make sure that your mortgage professional knows that you're planning to use crypto, and then gives A, make sure that they accept that, and B, gives you the step by step methodology in regards to what you need to do to use that money for down payment. But seems to be more and more of that as we
move
forward.
Millennials and the Zoomers have made some money on crypto. If you bought crypto two or three years ago. If you bought some Bitcoin two or three years ago, you made some real money on it. Now, if you bought it in the last year, you may have taken a bloody nose. But
yeah,
most
right.
of the people that we're talking about are millennials and Zoomers. And by the way, JD, we'll talk about it next week. But I read an article recently by Lawrence Young talking about a survey by Coldwell Banker about the number of millennials and Zoomers that were thinking about selling their home.
Yeah, okay.
So there are more of them that have bought and are now thinking about moving up. So we forget sometimes how quickly the clock is ticking.
Yeah, sure.
I think you mentioned it last week. Millennials are approaching 40 right now, the oldest millennial.
So say it ain't so. That makes me an old man, Keith.
Yeah, I'm not going to put you on the spot if you won't put me on.
No, I won't do it. Well, I think there's you're exactly right. They are aging. We've talked to several people who have talked about, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and cash out right now on the house that I'm selling. We're prepared to wait two or three years, and then we're going to get back into market because people feel like, or this particular person feels like, that we're getting ready to, we're in a bubble, and they feel like they can, you know, buy the house at right now or sell the house right now at top dollar and turn around in two or three years and get the same house.
And that could be true.
And it could be true. That's right. So it'll be very interesting to see how that works out. So anyway, well, listen, I hope everyone has a great weekend. It is Masters weekend, and we always love that. If you do get a chance to go down there, make sure you hit the – we gave you your tips in the first segment. Make sure you get your merchandise early. Make sure you get an egg salad sandwich for breakfast, pimento cheese for lunch. The merchandise is going to cost you.
Yeah, bring your American Express with you.
That's right. But the
black one.
Yeah, that's right. But I can promise you, I think sandwiches, I saw a picture. Somebody took a picture of the how much everything costs. Egg salad, pimento cheese, only $1.50,
yeah.
Keith.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just
unbelievable.
A beautiful
thing,
in today's world. So I hope Rory McIlroy can pull it off this year. I'd like to see him complete the Grand Slam.
Good thing.
I'm sure we'll talk about it next week. You've been listening to House Plans. If you want to reach us during the week, 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. Of course, the email to reach us is askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Have a great weekend.